He not busy being born is busy dying. That's a line that Bob Dylan wrote in 1964. And I think it's a line that stands as a motto for Bob Dylan's own work during the decade of the 60s, for Dylan's relationship to the social movements of that time, and indeed to the social movements themselves. And I think it's a line that we should bear in mind and use as a motto for our own approach, both to art and politics. Now, between 1961 and early 1968, Dylan released 8 albums, each one of them original, daring, pushing back the frontiers as they were at that time. He wrote scores of classic songs, gave countless inspired performances and the odd uninspired performance as well. His evolution throughout these years was extraordinarily frantic, as was the pace of change in the society around him. Now, what I'm going to say in this talk and what I say in my book is that Dylan's work in this period is unimaginable outside the context of the evolving social movements of the era, principally the African-American freedom struggle, the anti-war movement, which starts in the early part of the decade as an anti-nuclear movement, and of course, in the second half of the decade, becomes the mass anti-Vietnam War movement. These movements stoked the fires of Dylan's imagination. They informed his understanding of the world he was writing about. They provided a vehicle for his intense inner feelings. And very importantly, they gave him an audience that could understand what he was talking about. And they gave him the confidence to challenge orthodoxies and smash boundaries of all kinds and somehow not end up completely isolated from a mass audience. Without the social movements of the time, I don't think any of that would have been possible. However, I also want to say that my purpose is not to reduce Dylan to these movements. I don't want to turn him into the spokesman or mouthpiece that he always said very clearly, very insistently, and sometimes very obnoxiously, that he definitely did not want to be. And I'd like to make a general point about how the left approaches artists. I think there's always a danger that we try to claim them, that we try to say that so-and-so, you know, if he or she are alive or today, would really be a member of our organization or would really be a part of our movement. And if we do that, we reduce them. We reduce what is special, unique, and powerful in individual artists. If all we want from artists is for them to tell us what we already know and make us feel good about ourselves and our politics, then I think we lose what's most precious, what's most inspiring, and most politically valuable about really great political artists. It's that they take us further. Not necessarily ideologically, and certainly not programmatically. They take us further in on a deeper level. They take us further emotionally, and they enhance and develop our consciousness. And I believe that that's what Dylan did for us. So what I've written about in my book, and what I'm going to talk about here today, is about the interaction between Bob Dylan and the mass social movements of his time, and how that's embodied in the songs. Because without those movements, Dylan probably would have been, he certainly would have been a very fine songwriter. He seems to have been born with that ability. He might have been a great artist, but he would not be the Bob Dylan we've come to know and many of us have come to love. Dylan's songs undoubtedly transcend their time. I was recently, or earlier this year, at the World Social Forum in Mumbai in India. And I had the pleasure of talking to some young people, Indians, radical young Indians, who were complete Dylan fanatics, and they knew and sang all the songs. And until you've heard Blowin' in the Wind in Hindi, you don't know you're Dylan. And in particular, I was honored to have them do an amazing rendition of Masters of War. And when it came to that incredible last verse where Dylan stands over the grave of the Masters of War to make sure that they never get out of it, they belted that out with real fury and feeling, because this was before the BJP had been defeated at the polls, and they knew exactly what that song was about. But the point is that Dylan's songs are able to survive, to transcend their moment of origin, precisely because they're so deeply rooted in that moment, precisely because Dylan's response to the crises of his time was so deep and so radical, not necessarily coherent or certainly not consistent, but deeply felt. And that emerges and informs the song. And to get the most out of the songs, I think you have to go back and put them in their context. I don't think that's a reductive approach. I think that enriches them. you know, despite the fact that Dylan is still probably the most famous artist of protest in the popular imagination, you know, if you go out in the streets and ask people to name a protest singer, they'd probably say Bob Dylan. Despite that, the fact is that his period of explicit political protest is amazingly brief. Basically, from early 1962 to late 1963, a period of 20 months, he creates a string of topical but enduring masterpieces in which he tackles an extraordinary array of social themes. He wrote songs about the insanity of the nuclear weapons competition and the fallout shelter scam. Probably his first mature masterpiece is a great song called Let Me Die in My Footsteps. And that is a song in which the singer, Dylan, vows that he will not collaborate with the charade of civil defense.